Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Gentlemen, you're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cederstrom. I'm here with my co-host, Dave Allen, bringing you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for the last day of August, the 31st, 2023. It is Thursday, and we have Dave Allen joining us today. Hi, Dave.
Hi, Melody. Hi. Melancholy.
Melancholy today.
I don't like the
what?
Or are you Melody Colony? No, I'm
whatever
I'm,
you choose for it to be.
I don't like the end of August.
No,
but that's another story for another time.
Okay.
But look, it's a happy National Matchmaker Day, Melody.
Oh, Matchmaker, yeah. Huh?
Well, it's also National Eat Outside Day. So I know where I'm having dinner tonight. But you know what caught my eye this morning?
What's that?
It's also National Diatomaceous Earth Day. National Diatomaceous Earth Day. How about that? Which recognizes the almighty diatom.
Mm.
I don't know if it's called the diatom or diatom. And the remarkable mineral it creates. I found this very fascinating. Biologist understands diatoms as single-celled plants that form diatomaceous earth, or DE for short, and are indeed the lungs of the earth. Diatoms produce about three-quarters of the world's new oxygen supply, in fact. They're known to be the most durable naturally occurring substance in the world. I mean, yeah, from U.S., Mexico, Chile, and Peru to France, Spain, Denmark, and China, substantial deposits, some of which developed millions of years ago. Today, DE sees nearly universal use in the filtration of liquids, like beer and wine that we drink. It also filters the water in your swimming pool. Another DE use is in paint. It removes the sheen, making flat paint flat. Plus, when oil spills, recovery specialists often turn to DE to absorb the oil. So there you have it, Melody. Now you know all about diatomaceous earth. And you didn't even have to ask.
Well, diatomaceous might be the lungs, but we know who the heart of the earth is.
Oh, there you go.
So let's go ahead. Very interesting. A little bit of a... Very nice to know new things. So, did you know about diatomaceous prior to?
Never heard of it.
Yeah. Very interesting. Well, did you ever hear of gold?
Yeah.
Well, gold prices today, I'm just down $2 today at $1,941. We have silver down 18 pennies, $24.51. Platinum was down 7 at $979. Palladium was down 2, $1,256. The USDX today was higher by 0.44, 103.59. Crude oil was up $1.90 at 83.56. And you have the stock markets today. The only one that was green, the NASDAQ was able to eke out a small gain, 15 points. But the Dow was down 168 points. The S&P was down 7. And again, the NASDAQ was up 15. And let's see. Let's go to the European markets. Germany was up. That's the only one. Asia, let's see. We had the Nikkei was higher of the three that we pretty much report on. 10-year yield, 4.10. And that all the yields kind of eased a little bit ahead of tomorrow's big August jobs report. And we have natural gas that was also down almost 1% at 2.769. So there you have it, folks. And again, you know, all eyes are on tomorrow's reports. We've had some economic reports coming out yesterday and today, but obviously the big stories tomorrow. But I guess Dave, we talked about it the other day, where they're expecting to have a pretty big drop from last month. But let's go ahead, before we get there, let's talk a little bit of what's happening in Florida, because we do have many, many customers in Florida, and we hope that they are all safe following Idalia's hit to the Florida coast. Hundreds of thousands of people are without power. And I've seen the pictures of how the roads are littered with all this storm debris, and there could still be possibilities of more flooding. Idalia is now a tropical storm, and it's heading through, you know, went through Georgia and South Carolina. But we saw this pretty major hurricane hit as a Category 3 on Florida's Gulf Coast yesterday morning. And right now it's impacting South Carolina throughout today. And a supermoon that peaked last night is expected to worsen the range of coastal tides, bringing in an added layer of danger. Everybody was looking for the blue moon. I looked out, didn't see a blue moon, saw a white one, a big one. Didn't look blue to me, so not quite sure. I guess it depends on where you're located, suppose. But so anyway, we're hoping that the storm is it will move offshore and into the Atlantic, and so there's a lot of things going on, Dave.
Yeah, I read where a water gauge along Big Bend's Steinhatchee River in Florida measured an increase from 1 foot to 8 in just an hour.
That's amazing.
The surge was enough to reverse the flow of the river.
Wow.
South Carolina, National Weather Service reporting major coastal inundation, including downtown Charleston, beautiful historic area. Florida Governor DeSantis said over 30,000 workers were in the state trying to restore power there, but noting the work could take some time and, you know, no rest for the weary, Melody. I mean, as we speak, Hurricane Franklin holding at a Category 2 strength as it churns its way off the East Coast past Bermuda. Fox Forecast Center says the Southeast and Mid-Atlantic are already seeing life-threatening surf and rip currents, which could stay put through Labor Day. So you know what this means, Melody.
What's that?
Stay out of the ocean this weekend.
I always stay out of the ocean. The closest I get into the water is if I put my chair on the edge of the sand and let the water come up while I'm sitting there and cooling off. I'm not a fan of going into the ocean anymore. I did when I was a kid, but now as you become an adult, you know, all those things that are floating around in there, and I have a very big fear of jellyfish.
Mm.
I just don't want to be stung by one. So that's why I stay out of those waters, and particularly as the waters get warmer. But as I said, there was some reports coming out. You had the Personal Consumption Expenditures Index that came out. It was reported today from the Commerce Department. That rose just 0.2% from June to July. This is a third. It's just a modest increase. Compared with a year earlier, prices rose 3.3% in July, up from a 3% annual increase in June. Year over year, it's still down, but we're still feeling the pinch of inflation. Among individual items, the government says the cost of groceries rose just 0.2%. Now, 0.2% doesn't seem like a whole lot. They're up 3.5% over the past year. And they're probably up, 10% over the past, be interesting to see what it would be up over the past 3 years. Gas prices increased in July. They're still a little bit lower than what they were a year ago. Among autos, new car prices edged down. They're still up 3.6% from July last year. And used car prices fell 1.4%. We know they use that now in their in the way they figure inflation. Let's see if there's anything excluding volatile, the food and energy prices. This is, hey, take that stuff out that you need. It ticked up 0.2%. So pretty much the same, Dave. Actually, let me see. Compared with a year earlier, core prices rose 4.2%, up slightly from 4.1 from the previous month, Dave.
Yeah, more than double the Fed's target.
Yep.
Ian Shepherdson, who's chief economist at Pantheon Macro, says it's becoming harder to dismiss the improvement in inflation numbers as mere noise. He noted annualized core inflation in the past 3 months compared with the previous three increased at the slowest pace since March of 2021. Now, Fed Chair Powell's message in his keynote speech last Friday at the KC Fed's annual economic symposium in Jackson Hole said inflation remains too high and the Fed has to remain vigilant. Well, today's PCE report suggests the economy is growing at a better pace in the current third quarter than what had been expected. Though consumer spending drives 70% of the economy, the Fed's seeking to slow it as a way to bring down the inflation rate. And of course, too fast an acceleration could lead it to raise rates even further. At the same time, the Fed's trying to avoid sending the economy into a broad and deep recession, segments of which are and have been in one for many months now.
And, you know, it's interesting because you hear, you know, Powell say, you know, oh, the Fed needs to remain vigilant. Well, Bostic, the Atlantic Fed president, Raphael Bostic, he laid out the case that, hey, I think monetary policy is already tight enough to bring back inflation down to 2% over a reasonable period. So he wants to keep things the same. And he said in remarks prepared for delivery to the South African Reserve Bank Biennial Conference in Cape Town, you know. So, you know, again, so many mixed messages, you know, and it's they're just covering their butts. You know, one's going to say this, one's going to say that, Dave, and it's just the same thing over and over again. You know, then they'll wait for the data to come out, and then the one who was most correct will get patted on the back. I mean, it's just...
Yeah, we live and die by Fed speak
pretty much these days.
Congress certainly isn't doing much of anything except griping about each other. Bostic has been in the minority at the Fed, cautioning against over-tightening. thus needlessly hurting jobs and people's livelihoods. And given particularly some of the underlying components of inflation, he thinks we may be closer to their target already. Now, business surveys show that fewer companies plan to continue raising prices. And the percentage of items in the CPI that are registering 5% or higher inflation has fallen to 35%, down from 80% last summer. 35 is still a lot, but it's all weighted. So it depends on, how much of a given item makes up the whole. Meanwhile, the labor market continues to cool somewhat. According to Bostic, and employers say they don't plan to raise prices to keep pace with the higher wages they've been paying. But overall, he says the Fed must stay resolute on keeping policy tight until it's clear that, it's on track to the 2% over a reasonable period of time. See what happens. They release the Fed policymakers and the FOMC release their newest projections at the end of their next meeting on September 19th and 20th.
Well, I think it's going to get interesting. I'm hearing more and more about, it's going to be a very active last quarter. So, jobless claims, really doesn't seem to reflect what really is going on. And it's going to be real, especially from the numbers that the ADP came out with on Wednesday. And the number of Americans applying for jobless benefits last week fell by 4,000. This is the week ending August 26. The four-week moving average, though, of claims rose by 250 to 237,500. And, everybody looks to these jobless claims application as seen as representative of the number of layoffs in any given week. And I don't know, Dave. They just don't match with everything else of some of, and again, we say this all the time. All of these numbers and stats, they just don't go along with each other. They don't support one another.
Well, consumer sentiment is down.
Yeah.
And what the numbers say and how they're affecting people are pretty still significantly different. Now, the job market has held up better than anticipated. I think we can say that safely. Earlier this month, the government reported that employers added 187,000 jobs in July. Now, that was fewer than the previous couple of months and fewer than expected, but still reflects a pretty healthy labor market. Headline unemployment rate, which excludes discouraged job seekers, hit a half-century low, 3.5%. But counting those discouraged job hunters, the rate is actually closer to 7. So there again, talk about mixed messaging. Now, official jobs numbers for August out tomorrow. What they'll say is anybody's guess. Economists are guessing that they will have added 170,000 jobs this month. We will see.
That's a pretty low number. That's a pretty low number, but I saw a cartoon and a guy sitting in a restaurant. You might have seen this guy sitting in a restaurant, and he says, do you believe that a record that there was a created that the economic plan has created a record number of jobs? And he's reading a newspaper that says inflation on it. And she's, and the waitress giving him a piece of pie says, yes. She says, I have three of them.
Yep.
So it's interesting to see how they tally up with the record numbers and so forth. It just doesn't always paint a rosy picture. So,
indeed.
And we do know with inflation, we know that people are giving up food, giving up meals. They're living paycheck to paycheck. And that's just not a few people. I think that's the heart of America that's living that way. So, and then you have, there's a study, everybody talks about wages rising, but yet here you have a study that finds job recruiters are actually offering lower pay. So that trend is reversing. So I hear the music, but we'll be right back. So please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom. I'm here with my co-host, Dave Allen. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. And I just got, we keep getting these backdated Silver Eagles in. They come in small. I mean, you can order 5,000 1 ounce Silver Eagles if you like. There's no delays in any of the 2023 product at this point in time. Premiums are rising. Now they're up almost a full buck since I started telling you that the premiums were rising. First I told you it was 25 cents, then it was a little more, and now it's up a buck. So premiums are rising as we go into the end of the year, and product always, every year gets tight at this time of the year. But I did get a small batch of backdated Silver Eagles, very lovely Silver Eagles, nice white coins, a little toning on some, but barely noticeable. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Basically, you can buy them at the price of silver rounds, so it's really a good deal. So 1-800-375-4188. Just heading into the break, we're just going to touch on this briefly, where we saw that the job recruiters are now offering lower pay after the trend of higher wages. And so that's going to put a little bit of a damper on things, or maybe that's what they actually wanted, was, you know, lower pay. It didn't help rising wages, doesn't help the people at, you know, it helps the people, doesn't help the government. 48% of companies surveyed by Zip Recruiter in July said they had reduced pay for certain roles this year. And remember, yesterday we talked about Walmart reducing its pay voluntarily. It's a voluntarily. Pharmacists, if they want their hours cut, to reduce their pay. So we're seeing it that way. Some of the decreases are dramatic. Posted salaries for CDL truck drivers are down 47% year over year, while Class A truck driver pay is down 33%. So those are huge. That's huge. And when you have inflation continuing to be as high as it is, the industries experiencing the heaviest reductions in advertised pay include technology, travel, transportation. And, of course, again, we said it's a big shift from the last couple of years when many companies went on hiring sprees and offered new higher salary bumps not seen in decades to entice them during a tight labor market, Dave.
Yeah, we'll talk about some of the ways both employers and prospective employees are getting around these lower offered starting salaries. This is a widespread or a widely known phenomenon. I mean, you get a ZipRecruiter survey, Indeed, Gusto, the payroll software company, all showing lower salaries being offered. Some say it could be a sign of the cooling job market, because job openings have also softened, falling to about 8.8 million in July, according to the government, compared to a peak of more than 12 million in March last year. So, I mean, there are still some industries paying above average rate wages for new hires, like construction, tourism, and warehousing, but economists accept this newer trend to be continuing into the fall as the job market normalizes.
Well, you want to talk something about take me out to the ballpark.
Yeah, well, you know, AI indirectly rearing its ugly head in America's baseball stadiums. Baseball fans, Melody, particularly Philadelphia Phillies fans.
Figures.
Yeah, where I live. I mean, could face a dilemma that pits their convenience, fan convenience, against their personal privacy the next time they visit Citizens Bank Park. The team rolled out a new facial recognition pilot program last week at the park's first base gate that intends to speed up wait times for people to get in and get fans to their seats sooner. Major League Baseball has called the new technology the ultimate hands-free, free-flow experience. Uh-oh. But some critics are skeptical about the technology, citing ethics concerns about data storage and questions about facial recognition bias. In particular, people of color, whose studies show are more likely to be misidentified with facial recognition technology or concern. The new system called Go Ahead Entry, GAE, faced glitches when it debuted at Citizens Bank Park about 10 days ago, picking up the faces of other fans who were waiting in line. Well, the mishap caused delays and forced attendants to create a buffer zone for this new scanner. They say ticket holders who are 18 years or older can opt into the system. They must upload a selfie to the MLB ballpark app that's then assigned a numeral token before being deleted. Faces of Phillies fans are scanned and then matched to the stored numerical token, allowing them to enter the ballpark. If you're part of a big group, only one person needs to register on the app, and their facial scan will allow everyone to get in. Now, Major League Baseball and the Phillies.
Well, that sounds like great security.
I know, right? Major League Baseball and the Phillies worked for 2 years over that to develop this program. It's used in other stadiums around the country, including New York, Cleveland, and San Diego. In New York, Madison Square Garden CEO Jim Dolan had been criticized for using the technology to ban attorneys who represent people who've sued the venue.
Isn't that discrimination? I mean, are you serious?
Probably lawful discrimination. The Phillies haven't said whether they'll expand the program to all gates once this pilot is over. But once again, proof that we live in interesting and scary times, Melody. That is this week's Levity is Golden.
You know, it's funny because there was something where it says numeral token before being that they'll be assigned a token before being deleted. That'll never be deleted. No. Your facial recognition will never be deleted. And it just all goes into a major stored up somewhere with everything and everybody else. You know, it's a joke. And my thing is, gee, you get this, service is worse. But the thing of it is, it's less workers that they have to pay. So,
yep, less ticket holders.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So again, technology is replacing the human being, and this is going to just continue. And that's the world young people live in today. They don't compete with their peers anymore. They're going to have to compete with AI. And I don't know if you can. So, well, you know, we talked about higher wages to recruit people. Now there it seems that maybe there's other strategies that could be used. More companies are now offering to help with student debt through their benefit packages. This is all according to, I don't know, Handshake, whoever they are. I guess a recruiting firm. 4-day work weeks, they're kind of sticking around for the smaller tech companies, including clothing resale platform ThredUp, amid growing return to office mandates. Pay remains a priority, though, for workers, and covering some student loan debt is a more direct way to boost pay compared to maybe some other benefits when you're young. Dave.
Well, in addition, they say smaller businesses that can't directly compete on salary have looked for alternative benefits like shorter work weeks, as one example. Nearly 70% of those who participate in this Handshake survey said debt would influence their job search most upon graduation. A separate and recent study from Bankrate found that a 4-day work week is at the top of workers' wish lists. 81% of job seekers support such a revised schedule. So,
do people know that when they do a 4-day work week, that those 4 days usually are increased hours?
Well, it's a good question.
You're
typically not working four. Instead of 5 8-hour work days, you're not working 4 8-hour work days. You tend to be working 4 10-hour work days. So maybe an hour earlier, hour later.
And if you do get stuck with the 8 hours, it's going to be less pay, less hours, less pay. So it's so unproductive. It's just amazing. But anyway, in a related story, while we're talking about salaried workers, those that are making under $55,000 annually may become eligible for overtime pay. If approved, the effort would extend protection to 3.6 million salaried workers in the U.S. and mark an over 50% increase in the annual salary threshold for overtime pay previously set at under $35,000. So my question is, if employees are forced to pay overtime to salaried workers, why would they continue to offer workers salaried positions? Because that was pretty much what a salary is. You worked, and if you had to work an extra hour or two or three a day, I mean, that's what you did. You worked until the job was completed. You know, so in the same breath, if you got it done in 7 hours, so I don't know, Dave, that's kind of interesting.
Well, I guess what it's doing is extending the reach of the Fair Labor Standards Act. That's a federal law that's been in existence for many decades. Now requires, among other things, it requires hourly workers who work in excess of 40 hours a week. There's some exceptions to be paid time and a half for hours worked. In addition to that, there are also collective bargaining agreements that mandate certain thresholds. But under this new Labor Department proposal, salaried employees presumably in the public and private sectors could get paid time and a half for working over 40 hours a week. Again, if they made under this new higher threshold, salary threshold. But look, the proposed rule is not a done deal by any stretch. It's open to public comment for the next 60 days, or at least when it's published in the Federal Register. And it's likely going to have to survive some court challenges, as industry and small business groups in particular are expected to oppose it.
And usually the salaried employees get a little more wages, get a little bit higher wage than, your hourly employee. So, yeah, I can see if it would pass, that all of a sudden you no longer have salaried, and those salaried positions would be worth a whole lot less. They wouldn't pay as much as, because businesses aren't going to pay for it. They'll compensate for it. We're talking about these companies and what they make. You had U.S. corporate profits. They fell for the second straight quarter. This is according to the latest government numbers. But investors remain untroubled. No, they don't care. Profits for all U.S. corporations, not just the large publicly traded firms on the stock market, they were down 6.5% from the second quarter of 2022. 25% profit downturn at financial firms hammered by the interest rate increases over the last year helped to drive down, helped drive the downturn. Other companies did a bit better, with profits down just 4.5% compared to a year earlier, Dave.
Yeah, well, compared to the middle of last year, that was, which was the most profitable period on record for corporate America, with pre-tax profits topping $3 trillion in the second and third quarters. That's on an annualized basis. It would have been hard for that to last in any event. Stock market tends to be forward-looking as investors look at profits expected 12 months out, not 12 months past. And as we've noted, earnings guidance and executive chatter have been really upbeat recently. Thus, Wall Streeters say if the profit decline is behind us and the recent drop in interest rates, maybe today's drop in yields helping to supercharge tech shares is for real. They say it could be a coming fall to remember for various markets. Well, we shall see about that, Melody.
Well, they say the stock market is forward-looking. Is it really anymore? When you have as much stock buybacks and all this kind of stuff, how can it be realistically?
It's part of the mantra, past performance does not guarantee future performance.
Used to be, but not anymore. Commerce Department revised down, we mentioned this briefly yesterday, the Commerce Department revised down its reading on second quarter economic growth yesterday. The economy grew 2.1% annual rate in the 3 months ending in June, down from a 2.4% initial reading. Was that the last one, or is that the final one, or do they get another chance to revise it?
I think there's one more.
Do you think it? Could you imagine if
one more? Yeah, there's one more.
Could you imagine if that one came in like at 1.9 or something?
Mm-hmm. Well, you'd still have the Wall Streeters saying, and the pro Fed folks, we did it. It's a soft landing.
It's not negative.
It's exactly right. Yeah. So,
and again, you know, no one seems to be bothered at all. I mean, really, 2.1% compared to what we've had in the past is pretty paltry. It's really bad. Underlying sales to domestic buyers seem to be holding up fine. That being supported by strong demand that allows the or that we're told that the economy is dodging a recession.
Yeah.
Inventories are key to watch as they will likely be a larger drag going forward.
Yeah, that I think that's a great point, because particularly as the holiday season approaches and with new shipping issues coming back into the headlines, that could be a big deal that could mean the difference between soft landing and the R word.
But I hear the B word break. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival. Come on, baby. Don't say baby. I gotta know if your sweet love is gonna save me. We may lose and we may win, but we will never be here again. So open up.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
More time today. Welcome back to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Dave Allen, Melody taking care of their client business. The final segment, you know where to get her, 1-800-375-4188. Here's something we haven't heard about for a while. Arms negotiations between North Korea and Russia actively advancing, according to the U.S. Washington's concerned about potential weapon deals from Pyongyang to supply the Kremlin in the war in Ukraine, including significant quantities and multiple types of munitions, according to the White House. Following Russian Defense Minister Sergei Shoigu's recent trip to Pyongyang for discussions on these potential deals, Vladimir Putin and North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un exchanged letters pledging to increase their cooperation. Now, these letters were more at the surface level, according to Pentagon spokesperson John Kirby, but He added that these high-level discussions may continue in the coming months. The White House said a particular focus was artillery munitions, as Russia's military fights to hold on to occupied land in the face of Ukraine's counteroffensive. Kirby said it's a gunfight, and both sides are blazing away with artillery. Kirby added a warning to all others associated with these potential deals. And of course, we'll be taking action directly by exposing and sanctioning individuals and entities working to facilitate arms deals between these two countries. Now, any arms deal between North Korea and Russia would directly violate a number of UN Security Council resolutions. The U.S. has previously accused the North of supplying Russia with munitions to support the war in Ukraine, with the North receiving food and energy from Russia in return. In fact, the Treasury Department announced new sanctions earlier this month, targeting three entities tied to a network trying to support arms deals between the two countries and avoid U.S. sanctions. Russia and the North have both denied any deal to transfer arms, but the two countries have had a close relationship for decades now and have made no secret of their growing military collaboration in the face of Western sanctions. Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov said, this is our neighbor, very important neighbor in this region, so these relations will continue to develop. Also today, North Korea conducted more missile launches that it said were simulated scorched earth nuclear strikes on South Korea as it protests against the South's continuing joint military exercises with the U.S. Lovely. Hey, Con Coughlin writes in The Telegraph that Chinese president-for-life Xi Jinping might dream of global conquest. But the sobering reality is that Xi finds himself running a country whose ability to influence world affairs may now be waning. It wasn't that long ago that Xi was telling Chinese people that their country was entering a new era, one where China would take center stage in the world. Addressing the massive Hall of the People near Tiananmen Square in 2017, Xi declared that socialism with Chinese characteristics would lead to China becoming a great power, and that its flourishing economic model offered a new choice for developing countries. Well, while Beijing's plan to achieve economic dominance has been defined by its ambitious Belt and Road Initiative, its aim of replacing the U.S. as the world's leading superpower has also resulted in a massive and costly military buildup. Country's defense budget is set, in fact, to increase by over 7% this year as Xi attempts to fulfill his ambition of turning the Chinese military into a great wall of steel, to use his words. Between 2014 and 2018, Chinese managed to build more warships than the total number of ships in the German, Indian, Spanish, and British navies combined. Xi's readiness to resort to military force, meanwhile, is reflected in his recent edict to the People's Liberation Army to be ready to invade Taiwan by 2027. The only problem with Xi's plan is that it's taking place at a time when China's own economic fortunes are facing unprecedented pressures. Having enjoyed three decades of pretty amazing economic growth, the country now faces a very real prospect of prolonged deflation. While Beijing appears to be desperate to conceal the true extent of the damage to the outside world, the collapse of its housing market, which accounts for about 30% of China's economy, highlight the scale of challenges facing Xi. Failure of the Chinese economy to generate real growth after the pandemic saw youth employment reach a record high in the latest figures they released, prompting Chinese authorities to announce they'd no longer be publishing unemployment rates for the young. Well, Coughlin says Xi suddenly finds himself confronting a number of dangerous headwinds that in any other country would result in calls for immediate change in leadership. Mao Zedong, the communist founder, or a founder, of the People's Republic of China, was fond of saying a single spark can start a prairie fire. Or more recently, as Bruce Springsteen would similarly croon, you can't spark a fire start a fire without a spark. Well, Coughlin says now's the time for Western leaders to renew their efforts to persuade Beijing to tone down its antagonistic attitude toward the West. Now that his vision for world domination lies in ruins, Xi has to realize the truth. China needs the West far more than the West needs China. Now, turning to some domestic news, most of the nation's 10 largest cities had significant jumps in hate crimes last year, according to a new report. It was the second straight year of increases in big cities' overall average number of hate crimes, typically defined as violence stemming from victims' race, color, religion, national origin, or sexuality. A report by the Center for the Study of Hate and Extremism at California State U, San Bernardino, reflects a 22-year trend of increasing hate crimes nationwide. It comes amid a rise in white nationalism and soaring numbers of attacks on Asian Americans during the pandemic years. Chicago had the highest increase in hate crimes from 2021 to 22, 85% increase. Austin, Texas was next at 59%, followed by LA at 41%. Philadelphia at 30, Houston at 27, New York City at 14, and Dallas at 4. San Antonio had the largest decrease in hate crimes at 33, followed by Phoenix at 24, and San Diego at 15%. Nationwide, there were a record 1,889 crimes classified as hate. Come on, people, let's show some more love, can't we? Well, as we mentioned earlier, labor shortages are plaguing high-stakes sectors like law enforcement, healthcare, and education. Understaffing in some industries can have dire effects for public health and safety. For example, a shortage of air traffic controllers has led to an increase in near-miss airplane collisions in the air and on the ground. At the same time, a lack of available workers in AI and especially manufacturing threatens to slow productivity growth in areas where the U.S. is otherwise poised for big leaps forward. In the case of AI, I don't know that that's such a bad idea at the moment. But it's a problem not just for companies in those sectors, but for the broader economy as well. Meanwhile, you've got the childcare industry. They're also dealing with a shortage of workers. Parents often either can't find or can't afford it, which can cause them to stay on the sidelines of the labor force, making the worker shortage that much worse. Plus, Americans are getting older, and there are just fewer younger people of working age. Add to that the tight labor market, and there just aren't enough workers in the U.S. to meet demand. Now, some of these high-stake shortages are about wages. Government jobs like teaching and law enforcement typically can't raise pay high enough to compete with better-paying private sector jobs. But some of them are about working conditions. Employers trying to fill in-person high-stress roles are competing with jobs that offer more flexibility, like four-day work weeks that we talked about earlier, and working from home options. Some of them are just about plain old skills. There are only so many people with a ton of expertise creating AI programs, for example. Same problem in nursing, too. Now, for workers, this isn't necessarily a crisis. I mean, a tight labor market means higher pay normally, better benefits, and more congenial employers. I mean, UPS likely wouldn't have given such a generous contract to its unionized workforce, with some of its drivers currently earning $170,000 a year, if not for the tight labor market. And plenty of employers have figured out ways to adjust to this new normal, particularly in industries like retail and restaurants. They've raised pay significantly by relying on automation, like those woeful self-checkout counters, cut their hours, or made it work with some combination of those tactics. Every sector can take these steps. A lot of employers can raise wages and attract what workers are available, but the sectors facing these high-stakes shortages don't necessarily have that option. So, in lieu of a new surge in legal immigration, a surprise flood of sidelined women into the workforce, or a recession that drives down demand for employees. These changes mean that labor shortages will likely be here for some time to come. And look, companies in general keep flexing their muscles to get more bodies back into the office, but employees remain as emboldened as ever in pushing back. Two New York Times unions are challenging a policy that proposes monitoring employee badge swipes. At the same time, Amazon's ramping up pressure on workers to report to the office more frequently, 3 times a week. Status quo of high occupancy offices that existed prior to the pandemic is unlikely to return anytime soon, however, if ever. But that's not stopping employers from becoming more stringent in enforcing in-person work policies. A fact reflected from by work from home's slowly waning popularity. Over the last year, many companies, in fact, have tried to draw a line in the sand of at least 3 in-office days per week, which the Times and now Amazon are trying to enforce. Meanwhile, a softening job market suggests workers may not have as much leverage as they enjoyed over the last few years during the pandemic. Pandemic era's acute labor shortage has meant employers have had to demonstrate an uncharacteristic amount of forbearance for employees' wishes while enticing them with lots of perks, higher pay, and again, flexible work. Now, employees who developed new routines and moved away during the pandemic are insisting on maintaining their newfound flexibility. A recent Monster.com poll shows that while 75% of workers surveyed would relocate if a job asked them to, 25%, a full one quarter, would rather quit than move. And underscoring how working from home remains a staple of post-pandemic life, at least 40% cited remote or hybrid work as a motivating factor behind what type of job and where they select to work. But some companies are trying to carve out a middle ground. J.M. Smucker, for example, is trying out a novel return-to-office approach that designates 22 core weeks per year, according to the Wall Street Journal. So Smucker's employees can live wherever they want as long as they pay to get to the company's campus in Oroville, Ohio, during those designated core weeks. Plan basically means workers can be on premises as little as 6 days per month. Bottom line, ladies and gentlemen, as they say, there's more than one way to skin a cat or coax unruly workers back into near empty offices. Hey, it's all the time we have for today's program. I'll be back next Tuesday, day after Labor Day. Melody will be back tomorrow with Butch to close out the week. Also, be on the lookout for our weekly What a Rush of Gold and Silver blog in your email inboxes in the AM. And again, if you're not a current subscriber, just go to our website, dgscoins.com, look for the mailbox, give us your email address. You'll start getting it tomorrow. Hey, thanks as always to our production engineer, Todd Waite, and to you, loyal listener, for tuning into Financial Survival. I'm Dave Allen. Please be safe out there. Have a good evening. Bye-bye.
I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay.
Ain't it sad?
And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.
In my dreams, I have a plan. If I've got me